This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're back on The Pulse with Ali Johan and Othniel Thing, and we just played a track by the DGs, which are the Foo Fighters disco band. That was the BG's cover called You Should Be Dancing. It's out on the DG's new album, Hail Satin. And for the first story tonight, Othniel?
Well, you know what they say, right? There are only two things in life that are certain, death and taxes. Yeah. But it's about time to give that quote a software update of sorts. It should be death, taxes and posthumous albums. Ooh. Whether you like it or not, because it's bound to come out after the death of an artist, right? Do you know of a single artist that, like, you know, after they pass away and just like didn't release anything?
Artists that did not release posthumous albums. Oof.
Not many, right?
Yeah, nobody that I can think of off the top of my head, but I think that is probably the appeal of posthumous albums, right?
Yeah, you know, fans want to cling on to whatever they can, you know, since the artist that they really love and adore is not here anymore.
Yeah.
But in 2015, Universal Music UK CEO David Joseph, he famously announced that he had destroyed every single Amy Winehouse demo recording to prevent his successors or others from releasing them posthumously and potentially tainting the legacy of Amy Winehouse with an album that she'll never be able to personally approve of.
Right, and besides Amy Winehouse, you can probably expect to hear more posthumous albums, which has been quite the trend for years now. You know, we've got a Mac Miller album, Michael Jackson albums, Biggie, J Dilla, or even Tupac, who released 6 posthumous albums after his death in 1996. And some release their best-selling work to date after they pass away, right? That's quite interesting there. For example, Biggie's posthumous album, Life After Death, which was released just 16 days after his passing, that became one of the best-selling albums so far. It even got a spot on Rolling Stones' 500 Greatest Albums of All Time.
Yeah, of course, there are some great posthumous albums out there, but not having the artist there himself or herself to do the quality check could greatly affect the quality of an album. It's almost like a make-or-break moment where your fans will be really touched, they'll be in tears, or you taint the legacy of the artist.
Yeah.
And such is the case, right, of Pop Smoke, very talented rapper. He was only 20 years old when his life was taken away from him way too soon in a robbery case that led to his death. He is famously known as the guy that single-handedly brought the UK drill sound over to America and drill beats from longtime collaborator and producer 808 Mello. So Pop Smoke was poised for big success before his untimely death.
Yep. So his first posthumous album, Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon, which was supposed to be his debut album, was a big, big hit, and it made many best releases of 2020 lists. But his second posthumous album is called Faith, and this one sings a very different tune. This album, Faith, just dropped last Friday, and reviews from publications have now been rolling in. I really wanted it to be great, but I have to agree with some of the negative reviews. Pitchfork, for instance, gave it a 3.8, and that's all you need to know, I guess.
I think coming from Pitchfork giving an album a score below 4, that says a lot. That means that
definitely,
they really, really don't like it. I've seen some bad albums where Pitchfork gave 4.5.
Yeah, you know? I've seen the unrated or 0.0 rating for Jet's album, for instance.
Okay, that was... From the first few listens, right, you could easily tell that Pop Smoke did not have much involvement in the creative process at all. And the deluxe version of the album, Faith, is really bloated with 24 tracks and is jam-packed with features and very questionable beats that make you question if Pop Smoke would have actually vibed with it or not if he was still alive. Questionable features as well, like the Dua Lipa disco pop track Demeanor. I really don't know whether they're friends in real life or not. It seems like a label kind of thing to me. And a lot of fans have accused this album of being more of a money grab from the Pop Smoke estate. Well, you can't really blame the fans, right, when you really want to hear something from your favorite late artist, but then, well, they come up with something that Pitchfork would rate 3.8.
Yeah, and I think to me, a posthumous album is relevant when you, in the artist's lifetime, you can or you have heard that they are constantly recording something.
Yeah.
But sometimes these posthumous albums seem like they are just grasping into whatever that's left behind and then just try to release it in an album. And that's where I think it fails a little bit. Pop Smoke's longtime producer also blasted the album recently on Twitter. And he's number one, he said he's not involved in the project. And this was followed up with another tweet where he apologized to Pop Smoke and said how much he misses him.
Oh, that's how bad it was.
Poor guy, yeah.
Yeah, recently we covered the new law, right, that would protect the rights of deceased artists when it comes to things like holograms, because how ethical is that, right? But what about posthumous albums? I think it's a really tricky one, because on one hand, when it's done right, it could be a dream come true for grieving fans. But on the other hand, if it's really rushed and it doesn't contain, you know, the same qualities or the DNA of the deceased artist, you're kind of messing with the legacy of the artist. Yeah, so this Pop Smoke album, Faith, was it entertaining? Yes, maybe, because, you know, you got really big names there. You got Pharrell, you got Kanye West, you got Dua Lipa. But is it a true Pop Smoke record? Probably not.
Yeah, and I think if I can add, when you only have vocal tracks, for example, rap tracks, and that's mostly how producers work with this leftover rhymes and beats, for instance. But, you know, sometimes they just record two verses. It's not even a complete start to finish kind of line. And then it gets slapped on to beats or rhythms that might not fit their style, and they're not there to say, this is not my style, I'm not going with that, right?
Yeah, but I think I need to say on air as well that I don't think we are haters of posthumous albums, because it can be done right as well.
Yeah,
right?
No doubt.
Yeah, like if you take Michael Jackson's Love Never Felt So Good, that was released on his second posthumous album, Escape.
Yeah.
The original recording was just a simple raw demo that was just a finger snaps, his raw vocals and just a simple piano. It wasn't even recorded properly in the studio, but it took fans back to the off-the-wall era Michael Jackson, and when that dropped, it was really good. So I think it can be done right as well. There's some good to come out of that too. Another example would be Otis Redding, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, which I did not know was released posthumously.
Nice, yeah.
So should we phase out posthumous albums altogether, or should it still be a thing? What do you think, Ali?
Well, As I mentioned earlier, if we can tell, or if there's enough information that the artists have always recorded and recorded many, many different takes or sessions that can make up an album, then, you know, go ahead with it. But at least new producers should reserve the right to make it sound a lot like the artist,
right,
and not just slap on new sounds to it, because, you know, you can't get the person's weighing in on that.
Yeah.
But, it seems like it's definitely more of a record label /
money making
project, right? And
yeah,
I mean, we can see it in Amy Winehouse's albums, and it's sad, you know, but wow, I can enjoy more of Amy Winehouse's old recordings that never got released. So in a fan perspective, I like it, but
it has to be done right.
You're right.
You can let us know what you think. Should we phase out posthumous albums altogether? What is your opinion? Do let us know. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp in 018-789-8899.
And right after this, we'll be talking about the Malaysian Music Industry Corporation on The Pulse. But before that, a tune.
Yeah, I think it's only right if we play a tune from that Pop Smoke posthumous album, Faith. This is a track that's entirely produced by the Neptunes, which is super weird because Pop Smoke has never worked with the Neptunes before, and he always works with his producer 808 Mello. But let's all enjoy it. It sounds quite weird as a Pop Smoke song, but it's still a Pop Smoke song, I guess. So give it a try. Pop Smoke featuring Pharrell Williams, produced by the Neptunes. This one's called Spoiled on The Pulse, BFM 89.9. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.